Matt from the Man Cave. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching with your daily devotion for April the 12th. I hope you're having an excellent day. That thing flew like crazy. Hey, today we're going to be in 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to start with a great story in verse 3.
Let's start in verse 3. It reads like this: "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." All right, verse 4. "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him." 5, listen to this: "But whosoever keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." We want to be in Christ. Verse 6, "He that saith he abideth in him ought to himself also so to walk, even as he walked." You ever see those bracelets? What would Jesus do? It's all more than that. What would Jesus speak? How did Jesus act? What did Jesus think? Would Jesus be at this nightclub at 2 in the morning with some pretty girls? That's it. It starts in verse 3. God is saying this, okay? If you say that you know me and you don't keep my commandments, you're an absolute liar, okay? He says, those who truly know me keep my commandments. Jesus would go on to say this: if you love me, you will obey me. There's a lot of people out there, okay? And here's the thing. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about you trying to be good to get to heaven. What I'm talking about is the proof, okay, of your salvation. It is the proof that you are saved, okay? Because here's the thing. If you're not saved, you're not going to obey God, okay? And if you're pretending to be saved, you're not going to obey God because you can't. I mean, listen, you're not able to obey God. That part has not been perfected in you. See, when God's given you a new heart and he's given you a spirit and he's resting upon you, he gives you the ability to live that life. Outside of Christ, outside of abiding, outside of the exchange life, outside, okay, of his will for you, you can't do it. It is absolutely impossible. Friends, I'm here to tell you, the Christian life is impossible. I've tried to live it being unsaved, and I've actually tried to live it being saved and not resting in God, and it can't be done. How do I do it? I let God live it through me. I can't do it. Listen, I can't live the Christian life. My flesh, it goes wild. It wants this. This mind, it goes a million miles an hour. It's always influenced by the enemy, by people, by the world, and all these other things. And so I just can't do it. I threw up the towel a long time ago. I threw my Bible down. I'm upset, Lord. I can't do it. There's just too many distractions, too many things I want to do, too many knots and no's. Okay, and I can't do it. And finally, God says, "You got it. You can't do it." And I go, "What? What?" You know what I'm saying? That's it. You're not able to live the Christian life. I will do it for you. I died on a cross for you. I gave you my righteousness. You put your sins on the cross. Now, what you need to do is this: trust me, rest in me, have faith in me. Let me live in and through you the life. Let me do it through you. Let me use your body to live that life. That's what he's doing. What am I doing? I'm just resting. I'm abiding. I can't do enough good. Listen, I can't do enough good in my flesh all of my life if I was perfect to be able to stand before God in righteousness. But Jesus did it for me. It's his good works, his perfection, his righteousness applied to my life. I'm just receiving a gift. I would not dare try to go to heaven and say, "Well, I did this, and I was at a soup kitchen, I fed the kids, and I donated money, I did all these wonderful works." That's why Jesus says in Matthew 7, 21, "I don't know who you are," because that's not enough. Listen. Let's say you worked like a slave your whole life, and you gave all your money to the poor, and you walked every grandma across the street, and for 14 to 18 hours a day, you worked for what you thought was the kingdom of God, and you were trying to impress God. God's already impressed with you through Christ. Not in and of yourself, because your works are filthy rags to him, and they will always be filthy rags for him, okay? So I can't live the life. I mean, do you know how liberating that is? It makes me want to just start doing the party dance, you know what I'm saying? I can't do it, Lord. And he's like, "I know." And you're like, "What do you mean you know I can't do it?" It's impossible. And that's why Jesus came. Only he could do it. But I thought he wanted me to do it. No. He wants you to rest and let him live through you. See, you can't do it in and of yourself, because here's the thing, you can't say no to this over there because it got such a hold on you. You're addicted to this over here. You're just like a gravity field pulling you to sin. Your flesh, oh my goodness, give me a break. It wants to be all over the place, okay, and do all these things, okay, and then afterwards, what's the devil do? He comes by, tries to make us feel guilty of it. We go to God, we're kind of timid because we knew what we were doing wrong. So what does he want you to do? Trust, rest, obey. Let him live his life through you. You can't live the life, but he can do it through you. Allow him to come inside you. Take upon your body. Work that which is impossible for you, but it's not impossible for him. Friends, I know that's a lot to handle and to try to absorb, but let me give you an example in the Bible. It's in John, not 1 John, but John 15:5. And it reads like this: I am the vine. It's in red, so we know it's Jesus talking, okay, for that one person that was yelling at me. I only read the red words. Okay, it says, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them up, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. It's talking about hell. If you're in Christ, and you're resting, and you're allowing God to live through you, you're saved. It's the abiding life. It's the exchange life. It's being born again. But if not, you're working, you're doing it the wrong way, and it's rejected. And there's a lot of people that have joined cults, joined groups, joined all these different things. Those things are rejected because, watch, God will not share his glory. It's exclusively Christ and Christ alone. Just the mere fact that you join this organization, this cult, this thing, that are doing good works, supposedly, according to man's standard, those things are rejected. They're absolutely rejected by Almighty God. And he says that I bundle them up and I throw them in the fire. I made a way. See, he's saying you can't do it. See, in these a lot of groups and a lot of cults and a lot of false religions, they've come up with a way that they think that God's going to accept. He's not going to accept it. God says it right here in John 15:5 and following. He says, I'm going to bundle them up like branches, okay, because they did not what? Rest in me. I'm not going to share my glory with your flesh. What did God sacrifice? On the cross, his perfect flesh. He had no sin. You do. Okay, your flesh is tainted. It's a train wreck, okay? It's riddled with disease and sickness and sin. What about Jesus' flesh? It was perfect, okay? He gave his flesh away. You're trying to accomplish in your sinful nature what he accomplished in his perfect flesh. He gave himself up for you. Do you think for a minute he would have died on the cross if he didn't have to? Go back to the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, let this cup pass from me. Lord, is there any other way? Lord, please let this pass from me. You know what I'm saying? Do I have to drink this last cup? What was the cup? It was God's wrath. What did he say? Not my will, but thy will be done. So he submitted to the will of the Father. What is God's, the will of the Father is for you to rest in his son. Because there's so many people that really don't understand this point. You will always be rejected, okay, outside of Christ. Or if you've joined something with Christ. Meaning you're going to church, but you're a part of this outside of here. I'm not talking about a soccer team or tennis team. Those people who are part of these organizations, okay, or these clubs or whatever, they know what I'm talking about. They've joined themselves into something that's secondary, okay, and they try to tie in. They try to take this truth, which is not a truth, and tie them together. Never works. Because why? Jesus says there is no truth outside of me. Truth isn't an object. Truth isn't a concept, okay? Truth isn't a square, okay? Truth is this. It is what Christ has spoken. Jesus says, I am the Word, meaning he's the Logos, okay? If you understand that, you'll understand the truth. Jesus is the Word. There is no difference between God's Word and God. There's no contradictions there, okay? And so when he says he's bundling those people up, and these are people, friends, watch this very carefully, because these are pretty decent people. These are people that are in society, and they might be lawyers. They might be doctors. They might be judges, okay? They might be deacons or elders. They might be board members, okay? All of these different people who are doing noble things according to whose standard? According to man's standard, but they've added unto with the belief system that's contrary to the Word of God. Okay, God says this: I'm rejecting you. I never. I don't have anything to do with you. Okay, because I gave my blood, not so you could add 2% or 1%. See, it's 100% Jesus and nothing else. It's not 50-50. See, there's some religions that say, hey, I have to have good works plus Jesus plus this belief system over here, and it's just not the case. As a result of abiding in the vine, as a result of being a born again, okay, as a result of God already having done a work in me, yes, there's going to be fruit unto righteousness. That is obedience to God's word, which, here's the thing, outside of being born again, it's impossible. It's you doing it in your flesh, you doing it in your strength. And how's your record? I was good 3 days of the week, but I mean, she was so beautiful, Matt. You know, I couldn't say no, and it was dollar drink night. I mean, you know how it is. No, I don't. Friends, let me help you to self-diagnose yourself. And you're like, really? Thanks, Matt. Hey, no doctor's fee. I might charge you $2.50 an hour. That's a joke. Hey, verse 5 says this, but whosoever keepeth his word in him, I mean, you got to be in Christ when you're keeping his word, okay? Verily is the love of God perfected. You're not going to be able to keep God's word, obey his commandments, follow his will on a daily basis, resting, okay, peacefully living that life, okay, unless he's perfected that in you. As he does that, okay, he's doing the perfection, meaning he's sanctifying you. He's taking you from here and he's sanctifying you. When you first got saved, you were rough. Both of us were rough. Double rough on my end, okay? But he's gotten a lot of that out of my life. He has, not me, because I can't do it, okay? He's worked it out of me, okay? He's worked it in me, and then he's worked it out of me, okay? But it says this, and I think this is so interesting, okay? Whosoever keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected, okay? Because here's the thing, I'm not going to obey God if I don't love God. Do you understand? Friends, there is no one, I want you to get this in your head, okay? And here's your self-diagnosis. There's no one going to heaven that doesn't love God. Okay, that's religion. Religion means this. I can be religious. I can go through the ceremonies. I can take communion. I can put a few bucks in the offering plate. I can go every Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday night. I can be a part of the taco party, part of the potluck party. I can go to the picnics. I can do all those things, bowling night. I can volunteer. Watch this. I can volunteer with the kids and RAs and do all these things. But here's the thing. Here's the deciding factor. Do I love God? See, there's no one going to heaven that does not love God. As we obey God, that love is perfected. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. But here's the thing. If we were to continue reading, he's going to give us an example. See, our love goes to, it's really hard for us. Okay, whatever you think about the most, that's what you love. And you're like, oh man, don't say that. Yeah, it's the truth. Okay, think about it. Okay, you after this video, think about what do you think about the most? Is it money? Is it houses? Is it cars? Is it the pleasures of this life? Is it God? Is it the things of God? Is it how you can build people up? Is it how you can help people? I mean, what are you thinking about the majority of the time? Most people are thinking about themselves, right? Where that's not Christ. Christ would have you to what? Think about others. Isn't that funny? Think about him. To love the Lord thy God with all that heart, soul, strength, and mind. But it transitions, okay? So if we're in right relationship with God, we love him, and he's perfecting that love, and our love is growing towards him, okay? Meaning this, there are things that we couldn't give up years ago. We just didn't want to, but now it's just like, I'd really like to do that, but I know my Lord, my Savior, my Master, the owner of my life, the love of my life doesn't want me to, and I don't want to engage in that anymore. Yes, this flesh would like it, but here's the thing, I'm overriding my flesh with what? My heart, my spirit, and my mind. I want to do what God wants me to do, but I'm not doing it through my flesh. I'm doing it through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm being led by the Spirit. But here's the contrast. That's the healthy relationship, that God has all of your heart, okay? But if we just cross the page, and it's in the same text, starting in verse 15, but he says, love not the world. See, you're either going to love the world or you're going to love God. You can't love both. Listen very carefully. You can't love both. And for a long time, I'm not ashamed to say, I was just loving the world. God was secondary, if even that. This is begging the question, what do you love? And who do you love? And who do you love the most? I mean, here's the thing, because again, no one's going to heaven unless they absolutely love God, okay? Is that love going to be perfect? No. God's going to give you more love as you're responding to the light of his word, okay? And his spirit, and you're being led by the spirit of God, okay? See, friends, we all love something, okay? And God says, I want to be number one in your life. And if he is number one in your life, here's the thing, you have no problem spending eternity with God, but a lot of times that's not the case. And even in the same text, if we were to read on and go to verse 15, it says this, it's going to show us where a lot of us are and where I was for a long time. It says this, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Meaning this, you're not going to love God the way he wants to be loved. He says, I'm a jealous God. You guys have read that many times. He says, I'm jealous, okay? God's not going to take second fiddle. He's not taking second place, okay? And so if you're loving the things of the world and that's the desire of your heart, meaning that's your goal, that's what you're thinking about the most, really God's love isn't in you, okay? And it will be, listen, it will be relevant and prevalent because of what? Your obedience to him, meaning you're off and on. I don't do the big sins. I don't do the top 10. I try not to murder anyone and do this, and that. But yeah, I have done these things. No, see, you can't categorize. They're all sin. They're all death, okay? We don't want to attribute that to our lives, okay? And so it says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It reads on in verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Meaning this, so much of what I was doing a long time ago, wanting this and wanting that, okay, and excluding God from my life and just paying tokens to God, okay? Those things are passing away, okay? Yeah, I understand. So many people want this and this relationship and this house and this car. And it's just, give me more. I want this. I want it all. You know what I'm saying? The world is not enough. I mean, really, you know, they went up to Rockefeller one time. They said, how much money is enough? He says, one more dollar. You see what I'm saying? Here's the thing. If that's where your heart is bent, it's a red flag from God. It's a problem. It's a real problem because he says, the last thing you want to do is live this life, think you're saved, end up in heaven and you're in the wrong line and then you're standing face to face with God. And here's the thing, once we enter eternity, all knowledge is known. Very carefully, I want you to understand this. It's not like you're wondering who that person is or who that person is or what you've done or what the sentence is against you. You know. Once you enter, once you leave this life, all knowledge is known to you. You've entered eternity and there is no time. It just goes on and on and on, okay? I mean, when we read this in 1 John chapter 2, here's the thing, it really makes us think. I mean, it really makes us, and here's the thing, you don't have to, a lot of times, here's what people do. They'll hear, and they'll say, from now on, okay, now I'm going to change from here. You can't live that life. That's where we started. It's impossible. And so when you're, because we want to self-diagnose. We want to be like, okay, I've been doing this and I've been lusting after this stuff. And so I just won't lust as much. It's a heart condition, friend. You can't live the Christian life. Really, the best thing you could ever do is put up the white flag and say, I surrender. And go to God and say, God, I can't live this life. I can't obey you. I like this over here and I like this over here. And here, he already knows what's in your heart. He already knows every day what you're doing. He already knows what you're looking at on the computer. He already knows on the weekends what you're doing, what you're incorporating. He knows the thoughts in your mind. He knows the words that you speak. He knows it all. So what do you need to do? You put up the white flag and you say, God, I can't live this life. And I don't want to be a pretender. I don't want to be an actor, an actress. And I definitely don't want to go to hell. You have any suggestions? Jesus. Surrender. Say, Lord, will you live this life? Will you help me to live this life? Will you live this life through me? I can't. Friends, he'll take you up on it. What do you need to do? Rest. Abide. Allow that his Holy Spirit to guide you and to lead you every day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about yesterday. You don't want to worry about yesterday. That's yesterday's spilt milk. We can't do anything about that. Here's the thing. If you can go back, that'd be nice. I've never figured a way to go backwards, okay? And I would, so I could straighten up a lot of things. But here's the thing. If I had to deal with yesterday, it's only because I want to apologize because I've sinned against someone, okay? That's what I want to do, dealing with yesterday or the past, okay? I want to make sure that my life is squeaky clean going forward. What about tomorrow? I can't worry about tomorrow. What I can do is rest in today, abide in today, and enjoy this day. Friends, there are two different concepts here. There's your desires that are in your heart. I want a big house, man. I want a nice car. I'd like money in the bank. I'd like a hottie wife. I'd like a pool. I'd like a raft. I'd like a big, gigantic Weber barbecue. I'd like a nice picnic table. I want all these things over here. That's great. That's not why you're here on life, is it? Because here's the thing. Say you got all that today. Say you got every dream, every desire in your heart today. What are you going to do with the rest of life? Oh man, I'm going to relax. You know what? If you had everything that you wanted today, after a couple months or a year, it'd be old. It'd be old hat. It'd be just like, now what? Golly, I have everything. I'm rich. Friends, the people that win the lottery, oftentimes they're the most miserable people in the world because everything that they were striving for, they now have. They can have it, okay? They have more money, okay? And here's the thing. It doesn't satisfy. See, without a vision, okay, or without a hope, my people perish, okay? And so we always have to have a hope, a goal, okay, a vision of something. But when it's all given to you, guess what? We're just kind of sideways. We're so empty on the inside because we thought this was going to bring lasting peace and joy and contentment. And it's just the opposite. It's just tin and rubber and plastic. Think about it. Look around your house. Tin, rubber, plastic, metal. I mean, is that really what's making me happy? I'm going to trade God for tin, rubber, plastic, and metal, or a relationship with God. See, this is just one thing over here. This is one concept, but we have a whole nother concept over here. God's saying this, I want to be Lord of your life. I already love you to the max. I want you to love me to the max, okay? And I want to live in you and through you that life that you can't do. You can't do it. And so you have this over here, and if we do this over here, then he starts adding these things over here that we wanted. But oftentimes we're going for this over here, okay, with the illusion that this is going to make me happy, and it never does. Why do you think there's rapists out there? Do you think they rape people because they doesn't feel good? They think it's going to bring some kind of contentment, you know, lasting contentment. Does it? No. Why? Because they want to have sex again. Okay? It's like food. You always have to have it. What about this stuff over here? A lot of people think, if I had just had this, I would be happy. It's not true. Solomon had 1,000 wives, okay? And he lusted in his heart. If one woman won't satisfy, 1,000 women won't satisfy. Let's go back and look at the Bible. Look at Solomon's life. He had all the gold. He had palaces. He had 1,000 women, 700 wives, 300 concubines. So that's a major influence in our lives, okay? He had everything that you could have, and he was empty as the day is long. Okay? So that's one concept that doesn't work, okay? The things within there, are they bad in and of themselves? No. Is a house bad? No. Is sex with your wife bad? I hope you don't say no, okay? This is wonderful, okay? What about food? You love food? I love to go boating. Do you love skiing? You love hiking? You love all these different things? Nothing wrong with any of them, but there's everything wrong with them if they become your main focus in life. That's your God. That's what you think is going to satisfy you. That will never satisfy you. This can only satisfy you. When you put God first in your life, okay, and you're serving him and you're doing this first, and you're, watch this, as he's living through you, you're naturally obeying him. It's not you trying to do it in and of yourself, in your own strength. You can't do it in your own strength. You've already put up the white flag. You know it can't be done. So you're resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. His righteousness is applied to you. His perfection is applied for you. His sinlessness is applied to you. Your sins are on the cross and you're resting in that. If you make a mistake over here, what do? You go to God, you say, Lord, I messed up. I sinned greatly. I agree with what you say. What I did was wrong. You say it's wrong. I believe you, that's wrong. Forgive me. He says he grabs that sin, throws it in the deepest ocean. He separates it from the east as to the west. So you're resting in Christ. You're abiding. You're enjoying yourself. Okay, because he's number one in your life. He's your desire. He's your main focus. He's your main thing. As he is that, he can bless you with some of these things, but you realize these things are just to be enjoyed. They're not going to bring you happiness. You already have happiness because you got God. You're resting in the vine. You're abiding in the vine. You're already happy as the day is long. And watch this. Whether you have nothing at all, if you just have God, you're so happy. You have a peace that surpasses all understanding. You no longer have to have the things of the world to bring you happiness. I don't need any of this over here to be happy. I don't need none of it. Zero. I don't have to have the big house, the biggest car, the nicest car. I don't have to have $1 million in the bank. I don't have to have this, any of that to make me happy, because it can't make me happy. God makes me happy. My relationship with him, the peace that I get, the joy, his overwhelming favor in my life, his presence, his protection, his provisions, he alone is my life. He's in me. He's resting. I'm living it out. But he gives me these things over here because I have them now in proper place. Stuff over here, it's not going to bring you happiness, but you enjoy it. It's not going to bring you lasting contentment, but it's wonderful to have these things, okay? The Bible verse, again, and I've said this so many times, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is his righteousness? It's Christ's righteousness. It's God's ways. I'm obedient to God because I have to get to heaven. Even if, no, because that's who I am now. I'm a child of the living God. I'm putting him first. Abba. He's my Abba. He's my heavenly Father. He's the love of my life. He created me. He sustained me. He brought me back from the death. He pulled me. He plucked me as an amber out of the fire, meaning he pulled me away from hell. Now I'm serving him. Out of, I have to? No, I want to serve him. Okay, as a result of that, I'm an heir to a throne. I can be trusted with a lot of this stuff over here. All of it? No, not necessarily, because here's the thing. Again, as we get these things, sometimes we start focusing again too much on the what? the things. But he can, as long as you can handle it. Because God doesn't have a problem getting all this stuff to you. He has a problem getting it through you. We're not to hoard it. We're to give. You see what I'm saying? You're happiest. It's better to give than to receive. Have you ever heard that? And when I was selfish, I thought, that's bust. That's not true, man. I hope 1,000 people knock on my door at Christmas giving me checks and DVD players and all the latest electronics and all the iPads. You see what I'm saying? I used to think that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But after I understood the principle, as I give, it's better to give than to receive. Why? Because I'm a conduit for God. I'm giving because of what? Because of Jesus. Because of His love, His mercy, His grace. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I'm basically a missionary to the world to show what it looks like to be a Christian. I'm giving my life away to others, okay? Or are you the person giving your life away to others? Or are you the person trying to consume everything in this life? All this stuff about you, me, myself, and I, what you can get. Get all you can all you can do, get, shove it in the closet, shove it in the bank, hide it in the store. Unit, and here's the thing, you put every kind of freaking lock around your house because you're so paranoid that someone's going to steal what you got. Or can you trust God? If He gives it and He takes it away, that's okay, because I know He can give it again. God doesn't have a problem getting it to you. He oftentimes has a problem getting it through. Friends, put up the white flag and realize now what this verse means. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Does it make sense? I can't do it in and of myself, but through Him and in Him, I can do it all. And He's backing me. And I love it. Okay? I just rest and enjoy this life and enjoy all that He has for me. Okay? Hey, I hope this helped you out. Hey, if you're not a subscriber, hit on the subscribe button. Here's the thing. Thanks for watching all the videos, guys. I really appreciate it. Hey, this is Matt from The Man Cave.